Welcome to our online service this morning. We regret that the danger of the spread of the coronavirus has necessitated that we cancel our public worship. Nevertheless, we want to provide opportunity for our members and friends to still worship at home, so we provided a somewhat shortened version of our worship service for you today. If you are at home, we encourage you to create a worship space for you and your family. You could light a candle as a sign of God's presence, as we light candles on the communion table each Sunday as a sign that God is with us. And we've done that again today. You could also have bread and some kind of juice or something to drink to take for communion. It doesn't have to be grape juice. It could be real wine even. But we invite you to move into a time of communion later on in the service. I want to thank the persons in the Providence Sanctuary with me today who have come to provide the service for you. Our music director, Josh Hamilton, our pianist, Joyce McGee, our student intern, Frances Cadle, and her husband, Ron, Glenn Payne, our faithful technician, and I'm Jerry Shepherd, the interim minister here at Providence Christian Church. I want to let you know that we will be in communication with you this week via email. We encourage you to reach out to your church family and to neighbors in order to provide care and support for each other in these rather uncertain times. And before we begin the service, I'd like to read a brief passage from Psalms 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of the city. It shall not be moved. God will help it when the morning dawns. The nations are in an uproar. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge.
Let us now continue on our journey to the cross. Jesus and his disciples gathered in an upper room to celebrate the Passover and the traditional Seder meal. The focus of the Seder was to remember how God freed the Hebrew slaves of Egypt. The food eaten at the meal was symbolic of the suffering of the slaves and reminders of the events leading to their liberation. For instance, partially dipped in salt water was a reminder of the tears of the enslaved Hebrews in Egypt. Lamb was eaten to remember the lamb's blood put on doorposts of the Jews to protect them from the angel of death that killed the firstborn sons of Egypt. It was in this deeply felt observance of their ancestors' suffering and God's compassionate deliverance of them that Jesus instituted a new symbolic observance of God's new act of liberation through Jesus. Passing the bread, Jesus declared it was a symbol of his body broken for them. Taking a cup of wine, Jesus proclaimed that it was symbolic of his blood that would be shed for them in order to make a new covenant between them and God.
Ever since that night, Christians have gathered at a table to eat bread and drink wine, to remember Jesus' death and the new covenant he made with us. Today, we bring wheat and grapes as reminders of how Jesus laid down his own life that we might be forgiven of our sins and have eternal life. 2,000 years after Jesus instituted the new covenant with bread and wine, believers still gather to remember what Jesus did for us. By eating the bread and drinking the wine, we encounter the power of God's love for us, and we are sustained by that love to live our lives for God.
Guide me, O thou great Jehovah.
Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Feed me till I want no more. When I tread the verge of Jordan, bid my anxious fears subside. Bear me through the swelling current, land me safe on Canaan's side. Songs of praises, songs of praises, I will ever give to thee. I will ever give to thee.
God's love has been poured into our hearts through the gift of the Holy Spirit. Trusting in God's overflowing grace, let us now confess our sin. Lord, you know who we are. You know everything we have done. We thirst for things that will never satisfy us. We commit ourselves to things that will never last. We worship things that will never bring salvation. Still, you offer us the gift of living water. Still, you offer us the gift of eternal life. Forgive us, O Lord, and give us this living water, so that we may never thirst again. Amen. This is the good news of God's grace. Though we were sinners, Christ died for us. Though we were enemies of God, God loved us. Once we were lost and dead, now Christ has become our life and our salvation. In Jesus Christ we are forgiven. Thanks be to God.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your
kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom and power and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Now is the time when we share our joys and concerns for each other, and I know that we are concerned. But yet we have joy because we have strength in the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. With all our hearts and minds now, let us pray to the Lord. Father, we bow our heads. We bow our heads, but we reach up to you. By this act, we acknowledge in our hearts and in our minds that you are God and you've got this. Remind us that you are God, that you are powerful, you are trustworthy, and that you love us so much that you sacrificed the earthly life of your own Son for us. Let that truth sink into our souls and not be merely something we repeat on Sunday morning. Help us to feel the power of your love. In these times of uncertainty and fear, help us to remember that if you are for us, who can be against us? We say that you are our Creator. Help us to know in our bones that you are the Creator of all things in heaven and on earth, and the Creator of the virus we admit we fear. Give us the faith to follow Jesus' command to not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Give us the faith to say, let the day's own trouble be sufficient for the day. Help us whose strength comes from you to lift up our eyes and our hands from our own needs and concerns to the needs and concerns of our brothers and sisters who need a helping hand. Give us the opportunity to serve those most vulnerable and those who become ill. Give us the opportunity to minister to those who experience financial problems and childcare problems because of the illness or because of fear of the illness. Give us the means to reach out to those isolated at home or in the hospital, or to those who have no home and no place to turn. Give us ways to show love to our neighbor. Show us how to radically follow you. We pray for those in our own congregation who are sick, struggling, or suffering. We lift up Jackie Bellman as she continues to heal, and Mary Lee Mattingly. Thank you for their continued recovery. We pray for Buddy Littrell as he recovers from his illness. We pray for the McCarter son-in-law, Ben Lyons, that you would give him relief from pain and a speedy recovery. We raise up to you for comfort Michael and Jenny Doan as they grieve the death of Michael's father. We pray for Jackie Miller, Barry Brown, Eddie Payne, Gail Harney, Tim Lamb, Bobby Scrimshaw, Nina Foshuk, and we pray for the many ministries that occur in this place, especially for our food pantry hospice families and for all those serving our nation and community in this time of emergency. Father, we pray for our government and our civic leaders and leaders in the fields of medicine and disease control. Give them wisdom and discernment to lead us. You are the source of all knowledge. Give them knowledge on the ways to address the situation so that the life that you've gifted each of us is preserved and strengthened so we may glorify and magnify your name. Now, Father, let us worship you in true community as we pray for Reverend Jerry and all ministers of the gospel as they open up your word for us. Give us ears to hear. In Jesus' holy name, we pray all of these things. Amen.
This morning for our scripture, we'll be reading from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26, 26 through 29. While they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will never again drink of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new, when you are with me in my Father's kingdom." This is the word of God for the people of God. We give thanks to God. Amen. I was ordering flowers online the other day, and before I was allowed to continue the transaction, I had to agree to terms of a contract. At first, I hit the agree button and tried to complete my order without going to the terms and limitations page, but the program wouldn't allow me to do that. I figured out by the third time that I had to go to the page with the terms and limitations. I rolled through the contract without really reading it. I mean, it was comprised of 15 numbered items and must have been 8 pages long. I mean, who reads all that? I'd be shocked even if lawyers ordering flowers would read that whole contract, let alone a senile senior citizen like myself. Of course, we have all seen this sort of thing when we joined Facebook or rented a car or purchased an app or had a bunion taken off our foot. Contracts are necessary to describe what a business is going to provide and what the buyer is going to provide in return. And I guess we just have to accept the fact that we live in a society where we need such contracts, even for simple business transaction like buying a vase of flowers. Though we may think all these contracts as something new thrust upon us by attorneys, the reality is that contracts have been a part of civilizations for thousands of years because they can prevent misunderstandings and conflicts. An ancient word that is similar to the word contract is covenant. There were business covenants in the ancient world to clarify business arrangements. And there were theological covenants which clarified God's relationship with Israel and with the church. A theological covenant involves promises that God makes and the obligations of the nation and the church to God in order to bind together the two parties in a firm relationship. God chose Israel to be in a special relationship of protection and blessing, and Israel in turn promised to worship and serve only Yahweh. We know the story in the First Testament of how God made a contract with Abraham, promising to create from his descendants a great nation that would worship Yahweh alone and that would be a blessing to the other nations of the world. Years later, when the descendants of Abraham were slaves in Egypt, God freed them and led them out of Egypt. And then God made a covenant with them with those former slaves and promised them a land of their own, flowing with milk and honey, if they organized their society according to the divine law that God gave to Moses at Mount Sinai. During Jesus' Last Supper with his disciples, he declared a new covenant that he was forming with humanity. He raised a cup of wine and proclaimed, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." The new covenant that Jesus made with his followers that night made two promises. The first promise was that of forgiveness of sins. That promise from God was important because sins divide people from people and people from God. You know how it is when you've done something wrong to someone else and you feel ashamed of yourself. You feel embarrassed to face them. Your sin against them has become a wall between you, and no relationship is possible with them because of what you have done. When we have sinned against others and strayed from God's way of living, our sin has become a wall between us and God. But during the Last Supper, Jesus declared that he was giving his life that we might realize God's forgiveness of sins. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, "In Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them." Jesus promised us forgiveness. The second promise was that Jesus binds himself to us. The etymology of the word covenant came from the ancient Akkadian language. It means to fetter two parties together, to bind them to one another in a transactional relationship. Through the new covenant, Jesus has bound himself to us and us to him. The Gospel of John speaks of this covenantal relationship with Jesus, even though John did not include the institution of communion in his Gospel. However, no other Gospel writer speaks more about the meaning of communion than John. In chapter 6, Jesus told a crowd that he was the bread of life, an allusion to Jesus' words at the Last Supper, as he broke the bread and said, "This is my body, broken for you." Jesus went on to claim, according to John, "Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me and I in them." Abiding in Jesus refers to a oneness that a believer has with Jesus because of this new covenant. Now, the original meaning of covenant also involves a blood connection. Covenants in the ancient Eastern societies were sealed by the shedding of animal blood. For instance, when God made the covenant with Abraham in the 15th chapter of Genesis, a heifer, a ram, a goat, a turtle dove, and a pigeon were all sacrificed as a confirmation of the covenant between God and Abraham. And when God made the covenant with Israel through Moses at Mount Sinai, oxen were sacrificed, and the blood of the oxen was splashed on the sides of the altar, and then the blood was splashed upon the people themselves. And Moses declared to the people, "See the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you." When Jesus instituted the new covenant, he said, "This is my blood of the new covenant." God's new covenant was not sealed with the blood of an animal, but with the blood of Jesus. Jesus' blood, his very life, was given so that we might live in a reconciled relationship with God. Paul proclaimed it this way in Ephesians 2. "But now in Christ, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. A covenant is not just what God has done for us. Indeed, it is a two-way street. It demands a response from us as well. God has promised us forgiveness and reconciliation through Christ, but we must do something for God to have that relationship. The Mosaic covenant required the Jews to live by the laws given to Moses at Mount Sinai. Jesus, however, gave us no such list of commandments and laws, except one. Jesus declared, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you should also love one another." Now, as sentimental and overused the word love is, it may seem that our responsibility to Jesus is less vigorous than that of the Mosaic covenant, which had over 600 laws that Jews were supposed to follow. But let's face it, there are always ways to get around laws and rules. For instance, Candy and I decided to give up desserts for Lent. Well, then the other day I went to the dentist in Danville, and Candy asked me that while I was in Danville to stop by Burke's Bakery to buy some shamrock cookies for her friend who was having a birthday on St. Patty's Day. And she just happens to love Burke's Bakery sugar cookies. You talk about temptation. Here I am giving up desserts and she's sending me into Burke's Bakery. Well, I decided I could at least buy myself my favorite blueberry donut from Burke's. It was breakfast, not dessert. But when I looked into the case full of donuts, there was not a blueberry donut to be found. So I looked around the case at the other delectable delights, and I thought, oh, there are muffins. I could eat a muffin. That is breakfast food. That is not dessert. But then I saw in the shelf right above the muffins, there were two spice cups. I don't know what category spice cups are in. I've never eaten them for breakfast. But they're not really cupcakes. They don't have any icing on them. I'm not really sure what they are, but I decided they were breakfast food, and I ordered two. There are always ways to get around rules. But how can you get around the requirement to love? The commandment to love includes every person, every family member, every friend, every foe in every situation. The new covenant requires that we love everyone, no matter who they are, what they believe, or what they have done. That's all God requires from us. One simple commandment for us to join in that covenant relationship with God. You know, when we take communion, I believe most of the time we probably focus upon what a wonderful thing God has done for us in the new covenant through the blood of Jesus. But at the same time, we must not forget that a covenant is a two-way street. For us to be bound to Jesus and to abide in Him, we must love other people like Jesus did. I give you a new commandment that you love one another as I have loved you. In the new covenant, we must love black people and white people, brown people, Christians, Jews, Muslims, atheists, Iranians, Mexicans, Russians, Democrats, Republicans, old people, young people, sons-in-laws and mother-in-laws and even outlaws. That simple commandment to love others like Jesus gives us something to ponder and pray about when we eat the bread and drink the cup. This body broken for us. This blood shed for us. This life loving others through us. Hallelujah and amen.
What wondrous love is this, O my soul, O my soul? What wondrous love is this, O my soul? What wondrous love is this that caused the Lord of bliss to bear the dreadful curse for my soul, to bear the dreadful curse for my soul. When I was sinking down, sinking down, when I was sinking down, O my soul, when I was sinking down beneath God's righteous frown, Christ laid aside his crown for my soul, Christ laid aside his crown for my soul. To God and to the Lamb I will sing. To God and to the Lamb I will sing. To God and to the Lamb who is the great I am, while millions join the theme, I will sing. While millions join the theme, I will sing. And when from death I'm free, I'll sing on, I'll sing on. And when from death I'm free, I'll sing on. And when from death I'm free, I'll sing and joyful be. And through eternity, I'll sing on, I'll sing on. And through eternity,
I invite you now to ponder that new covenant that has been made for us through the blood of Jesus. and how Jesus gathered with his disciples on the night that he was betrayed by Judas. And during supper, he took bread, he broke it, he gave it to his disciples, and he said to them, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Eat of this in remembrance of me." And near the end of the meal, he took the cup and he said, "This cup is the new covenant that I make with you in my blood. Drink of it, all of you, in remembrance of me." If you have prepared for you your own homestyle communion, we invite you to take and to receive at this time. O Lord our God, we give thanks for your initiative towards us, that you have reached out towards us that we might live in a covenant relationship with you. We know that covenant was made at a great cost, at the cost of the life of your Son, Jesus the Christ. And we give thanks for your extraordinary love that allowed Jesus to suffer and die for our sakes. And we pray that you might fill us with such gratitude and such love that we might respond to that gift, that we might love others as Christ has loved us. This we pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen. We would pass the communion baskets to you right now, but that is impossible. But we do ask that you continue to support your church. You can send your checks by mail, or you can make your payments of your tithes and offerings through the website. And we thank you for your faithfulness to the church and to Christ's ministry through Providence Christian Church. The Bible tells us not to give reluctantly, for the Lord loves a cheerful giver.
Lift high the cross, the love of Christ proclaim, till all the world adore his sacred name.
And now may the Lord bless you and keep you, may make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Now and forevermore. Amen.